I was asked to speak on Philippians chapter 4. Now, Philippians is one of my favourite letters, favourite books. It's a tremendous book of encouragement, and it hinges round one of the verses within the passage that we read, which says, "Rejoice, I tell you again, rejoice." And it's great to come into church on a Sunday and rejoice with God's people. Paul was writing to a young church who'd been a help and a support to him. And throughout the letter, he's giving them great teaching. And in this chapter alone, there are many things that I could speak on. If I was to speak on all the different points that Paul is bringing about, we'd be here till this evening's service. But I just want to look at two verses with you this morning. The two verses are verses 6 and 7. And it says this, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I'd like to look at it on three headings. First of all, do not be anxious, or as the Good News puts it, don't worry. Secondly, present your prayers with thanks. And thirdly, if we do those two, the peace of God will be ours. The Good News says, don't worry. And that's very easy to say, isn't it? Don't worry. Most of us worry. I was waking up halfway through the night last night just worrying over some trivial matter that was keeping me awake. And it's very easy for people to say, oh, don't worry. And we tend to turn around to people who say that, but you don't know what I'm worrying about. You don't know the problems that I've got. But you see, Paul, when he was writing to the Philippians, did know the problems. Paul, as you know, had gone through severe problems of his own. And if we look at problems that we worry about, they can be split into three distinct patterns. We either worry about things that are happening in the present, we worry about what's going to happen to us in the future, or we look back and we worry about things that we've done or said in the past. Paul, from his experience in the present, we read in the different letters about how he was beaten, how he was stoned, how he was thrown into prison here in Philippi. He'd been put in prison in the stocks. How he'd had been treated so badly, how he'd been shipwrecked. So he knew all the problems that people could be facing. When thinking about the future, he was writing this epistle to the Philippians from imprisonment in Rome. And he didn't know whether he was going to be released. He didn't know whether he was going to be executed. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. So looking to the future, he had all the worries that anybody could have had. And looking to the past, you remember when he was Saul, and before he was converted, how he'd gone to the priests in Jerusalem and said, "Give me the writing, the letters, the authority to go to Damascus and round up all these Christians, because I want to put them in jail. I want to see them executed. I want to rid Christianity off the face of the earth." And he could look back to those days and think, how many people did I persecute? How many people did I harm in those days? What damage did I do? So both for the present and looking to the future and looking to the past, Paul had as much right as anybody to say, look, I've got all the worries that anybody could possibly have. But still, he writes them and says, don't worry, don't be anxious. Jesus, when he was doing his famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, said this, Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? We waste so much time worrying, don't we? Do not worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. Each day has enough worries of its own. But seek first his kingdom, that's God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all that you need will be given to you. To be anxious, you see, is to be self-centered, to be counterproductive in your worry. You see, being anxious is not a legitimate concern for those without the gospel. We had a prayer meeting just before the start of the service, and Dominic was sharing with us missionary letters from around the world. And when we read about India, about Africa, about South America, about disasters that are coming upon different people, we have a concern. And that's nothing to do with being worried. A concern is completely different. You see, a concern is constructive. We can build on it through prayer and through support. But a worry is destructive. A worry only brings us down. So we must not worry, but we must have a concern for those who are still waiting for the gospel. Matthew 28, the last words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven, he said to his disciples, and he speaks to us when he says, "Go into all the world with the good news." 2,000 years after Christ made that commandment to us all, many parts of the world are still waiting for the good news of Jesus. There are 6,000 languages in the world today, but only 300 have the whole Bible in their language. About another 2,000 have parts of the Bible, but that still leaves giving away the languages that are close to others and languages that are dying off. There are still about 2,000 languages waiting for people to go out, learn the language, and translate it into words of good news, the Bible. We have some good news, though. This is a Mongolian New Testament. And for 2,000 years, the Mongols have never had their national language in the good news of Jesus. And last year they got the New Testament for the first time. Now Mongolia lies between Russia and China, has a population of about 3 million people, but there is no known church, only a handful of believers in the whole country. Why? Because they've never had God's word in their language. Now they have it, just the New Testament for now. But last year they ordered 2,000 of these, and the reason I've got a copy is the Bible Society here in Scotland arranged the publishing and printing of them. And we sent 2,000 out to Mongolia last year, and with no known church and very few believers, all 2,000 have now disappeared, and they've asked for another 2,000. Such is the hunger for God's word in parts of the world. Paul says we must not worry, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our request to God. You see, anxiety and prayer are two great opposing forces in Christian experience. And perhaps we worry too much because we don't pray enough. And our prayers should be full of thanksgiving because we have so much to thank God for. We here in the West, in Scotland, have very much in danger of taking things for granted. Our lovely churches, the fact that we have the Bible in many different versions. Last May, I was over in the Soviet Union for the Bible Society as part of a delegation to see how much the support, the prayer support and the financial support from Scotland was reaching into different parts of the Soviet Union. And while I was in Moscow, we was giving out children's Bibles that I'd taken in with me. And on the bookstall in Moscow Airport, I saw this Bible, this children's Bible, on sale at 100 rubles, which is about a week's wages, about £100 to us. So there is a great hunger for God's Word, but not just for the children's Bible and not just by children. This is sought after by many adults because it's such a simple Bible to understand when Bibles have been so hard to get. Last August, you remember, there was the coup in the Soviet Union when Gorbachev was arrested down in the Crimea, and Boris Yeltsin and his colleagues were virtually under siege in the parliament building of the Russian Republic there in Moscow. And the right-wing coup leaders had called the army onto the street, and they surrounded the parliament building, and on the Tuesday evening things looked very black for Russia. It looked like things were going to revert to 5 years ago when communism held sway, when churches were closed, Bibles were banned. But the Bible Society in Moscow went out into the streets that Tuesday evening and handed out 6,000 New Testaments to all the soldiers on the streets. And as you know, while that Tuesday evening passed, they didn't storm the parliament buildings. They were called back to barracks. And the following day, the Wednesday, the coup collapsed. Gorbachev was brought back to power. Just two weeks ago, the same parliament met again with deputies from all over Russia, deciding the future of Russia and the Soviet Union in general. And while the deputies were meeting in the parliament session, in one of the foyers, the Bible Society had a table with Bibles that they were giving away to passers-by. And one by one, the deputies in the main session heard that Bibles were being given away, and they were leaving their seats and sneaking out, to such an extent that the chairman, the speaker of the parliament, had to call a halt to proceedings because there wasn't enough people left to form a quorum to decide on the future of Russia. All the people were making their own decisions, all the deputies, to get hold of a Bible. While I was in Soviet Union, we went to Leningrad, which is now St. Petersburg, to witness the opening of the Bible Center there. And the Bible Center is all denominations coming together to make a center for people to come in off the street and buy Bibles and arrange for Bible distribution to their churches, to their villages. While we were there, we were invited to go back to the city council offices. And going there, we went for a reception, and we presented a Bible to the deputy mayor of Leningrad. And he said this, which amazed me. He said, "I read the Bible every day. I know the value of the Bible in my life." The following day, the newspaper in Leningrad had the headline, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." And the front page of the local paper said about the Bible Center and the need for this Bible Center in the lives of people of Leningrad and of the Soviet Union, the need of the Bible in their lives. And we have got an appeal to raise money through prayer support called Operation Family. And we have the latest Operation Family focus about what's going on in the Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, and there's some when you go through for coffee. We also would like you to collect coins, banknotes, and communion tokens, because by those being collected through churches like yourself, we can raise valuable money for paying for Bibles into Russia. So far, over the last 2 years, through churches, guilds, groups, collecting coins, old coins, foreign coins, foreign banknotes, we've raised nearly £5,000, which is an awful lot of Bibles reaching in to Russia today. My time's nearly going, so let's just press on to the last point. He said, "Don't worry overcome worry by prayer with thanksgiving, and then we will have peace with God. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You see, the peace of God gives us peace with God. And that's not a peace that means no warfare or whatever. It's an inner peace, an inner tranquility, the opposite of anxiety, a knowledge that our sins are forgiven. We are to offload all our cares on the one who cares. And the writer wrote this, he said, "Peace acts as a sentry, guarding our minds from being overwhelmed by the sudden onrush of fear, anxiety, or temptation." And do we know this peace in our lives through Jesus? Even in a time of war, people can know peace. The little bookmarks that you were given as you came in and are on some of the pews tell about what's happening in the Middle East through the Bible Society. And over the last year, we know of warfare in that part of the world. But there is a Bible Society in Beirut, despite the war going on there, the civil war. They're reaching out into places like Iraq and Kuwait with many Bibles to the many Christians that are there. And this Christian witness through these Bibles is reaching into many hearts, despite the time of war and the aftermath of war in that region. And many Kurds are being reached in refugee camps in Turkey and Syria, as well as many Filipinos and Bangladeshis who formerly worked in Kuwait and Iraq, but who had to leave when the war was on and went into Jordan and were reached by the word of God in their language and are now being baptized and taking the word of God back to their home countries. There's many things that we can appreciate here in Scotland and many ways that we can reach to other parts of the world through our prayers and our support. We can pray, giving thanks to God for all that He is doing in the world. When I joined the Bible Society, I picked up a saying that says, "When man works, man works. But when man prays, God works." And we're seeing God working tremendously in the world today. If I had time, which I haven't, my time's run out, but if I had time, I could tell you about what's happening in China, what's happening in the rest of Africa, in South America. Tremendous stories about what God is doing in the world today. And we can all be a part of this work that God is doing by our prayers, both here in church, in our prayer groups, and praying alone in our homes. To help with your prayers, and if you would like to pray for the Bible Society, we have a prayer calendar. It's called the Bible a Month prayer calendar. I'll just show it to the choir as well. How this works, it's a colourful calendar. It's already started. It's a 15-month calendar running from now right through to December of next year. Each month there is a different country, a different project. For October it's about East Malaysia. For November it's about Romania. For December about Brazil. And what the Bible societies are doing in these different countries. And we give these prayer calendars away free to anybody who would like one. But there is a commitment. The commitment is that you put this up somewhere prominent in your home, or in your guild, or your Sunday school, or your group. And the other commitment is that you read about and pray about the work that's mentioned on the page. At the end of the month, you tear off the bottom, it becomes a stamped addressed envelope to Bible House in Edinburgh. And we ask that you put a £2 cheque or postal order in the envelope. Now, £2 per month may seem a lot, 50 pence a week. But the reason we ask for £2 every month is that if you were to go into Dundee and buy a Bible, it would cost you about £10. But for people in Asia, Africa, South America, to buy a Bible usually costs about a week's wages. And of course, people, poor people especially, cannot afford a week's wage for a Bible. And so they have to be subsidized. And the average subsidy is £2 per Bible. So that £2 is the subsidy you're giving them every month. So that's why we call it the Bible a Month Prayer Calendar. Because by taking a calendar, by your prayers and by your giving, every month, somewhere in the world, receives a Bible. And you know where they are because you've been praying for them. So without leaving Dundee, you're becoming missionaries. Because by your prayers and by your giving, every month, you're reaching out to different parts of the world with God's word. So thank you for inviting me, and I hope we've learnt a bit about what God is doing in the world today. Shall we just close in prayer? Almighty God, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that it is a pointer to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for a hunger to know your word and a willingness to obey its message. We give thanks, Lord, for the translations being produced and the scriptures distributed by the means of the gifts of faithful Christians. We ask, Lord, that you would give us a concern and a compassion for those who hunger after your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have to share in this noble undertaking. And we ask that all that we pray and all that we do may bring glory to you. For we ask this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.